better come on in my kitchen. It's fun to be running out of.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years. With 7 cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno, more at heritagecoffee.com. And it's time for Foodie Friday. My guest with FaceTime audio here today is Sarah Lewis. She is a cooperative extension agent for the UAF Cooperative Extension Service. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott.
It's nice to have you here. I'm going to need some help to talk about all that you do as an agent.
Yes. We're just everywhere, aren't we? So what I do, my programming is what used to be called the home ec agent. But really, that has been expanded over the years to realize that home economics includes everything from food safety and food preparation to food entrepreneurship and home finances and small business and emergency preparedness. But what I do a lot in Southeast, because most of what people want me to do, which is what at Extension we try to do, we try to respond what our communities really want to learn, is about resilience, community resilience around local food resources. Okay. So I do lots of canning classes, and I just did a kids cooking class today and all kinds of stuff.
Wow, that sounds like a really fun job.
It's a very fun job, yes.
All right. So we thought maybe we'd talk a little bit about canning today. And
yeah,
it seems early to me to be talking about that, but I always start to think about it like right when I need to do it, and then I don't have the stuff. And so I just don't do it. So this might
that
be
is,
right.
This is exactly right. Thank you so much for thinking ahead like that. So, because yes, if you're going to be canning, especially if you are going to be canning fish, if you're going to be canning meat, if you're going to be canning vegetables, unpickled vegetables, you must can all of those in a pressure canner. That is the only safe way to do it, because if you put those foods, low acid foods, in a jar and you don't pasteurize them at 240 degrees, then they are all at risk of developing the botulism toxin in them, which is a deadly toxin. And we don't want that. The good news is that because Alaskans have, since the time that pressure canners actually came to Alaska at the beginning of the 1900s, it came at about the same time as the cooperative extension. And so we as a state have been learning about the safety associated with pressure canning since pressure canners arrived. So we have actually not had an outbreak of botulism related to home canned foods, because we tend to do it right and safely. So that's really good news. But
yeah. All right. Can we do canning 101 today on the show?
Canning 101. Yes, I can do my elevator speech about canning. Let's see if I can do it. So basically, when you put food into a jar and you want to put it on the shelf, you're creating a low oxygen environment inside of that jar. And different things are going to grow in different types of food when you put them in a jar. So if it's a high acid food, like berries and fruit and rhubarb and pickles, if you put those in a low oxygen environment, like a jar, you're worried about yeast and mold. You're worried about it getting moldy. It's going to taste bad. It's going to start to ferment. You're going to see it. You're going to smell it. You're going to taste it. And most of the products of those microorganisms are not going to be dangerous to the largest part of the population. Okay. So if someone were to put that in a jar and put it on the shelf without pasteurizing it, it's just going to spoil.
Okay.
So those are not the things we're as worried about, though spoilage is a waste. So we can talk some other time about food waste, which is a real bummer. So and the time that we put into canning things, we certainly don't want them to spoil on the shelf. So you do want to pasteurize, and you pasteurize those in a water bath canner, because yeasts and molds can be killed at 212 degrees. Easy peasy. Lots of people do jams and jellies. It's great. Pickles, all that kind of stuff. Now, when you put low acid foods into a jar, into a low oxygen environment, low acid foods are fish, all meat, all seafood, almost all vegetables that haven't been pickled. Low acid, low oxygen environment is actually where botulism thrives. The Clostridium botulinum bacteria thrives in those situations. And if you don't pasteurize those, then you
AKA boil it in a canner or a pressure canner,
actually a pressure canner. Those require 240 degrees. So the botulism spores require 240 degrees. The only way you can get water to boil at 240 degrees is to add pressure. It doesn't matter how long you boil water, it's not going to get above 212 degrees. So that's why we pressure can all of our low acid foods like fish and venison and spaghetti sauce and stuff like that.
Okay. So yeah. That is a lot of great information. Now, okay. So right now I see people fishing for dollies. I don't know if too many salmon have come in yet. What do you know about that? And maybe take one of those fish and take us through the process if you have energy for that.
Sure. And I included, I don't know where you're going to be posting it and stuff, but we have a great publication. So those who might not be all that familiar with it, Cooperative Extension, we have tons of free publications. And one of them is called Canning the Fish Catch. And it's all about pressure canning fish. And fish is actually one of the easiest things to can, because really the directions are, you want to clean your fish pretty well, just like you would for cooking it in any other way, but you don't have to fillet it. You don't have to get rid of the bones or anything. You cut it up, bones and all, you put it in a jar, you pressure can it. It's easy. You don't have to add liquid. You don't have to add anything else. And so a lot of people in Southeast do that. But, and you can get some really great information about the actual pressure canning process, either by calling or emailing me or these publications. We've got some great publications. I do classes periodically as well on canning. But to go a little bit further, since this is Foodie Friday, a lot of people do already can salmon in Southeast. But we have a great publication called Add Variety to Home Canned Fish, because I think also there's a lot of people who can salmon and then it sits on the shelf for a long time because sometimes you're not quite sure what to do with it. It seems like there's not much to do with it, things like that. And so one of the things that I recommend is people experiment a little bit with adding some stuff in with that salmon that you put in the jar. And this publication we have, Add Variety to Home Canned Fish, a bunch of master food preservers got together. So it was somewhere here in Alaska, I'm assuming Fairbanks at some point, and they tested a whole bunch of things like basil and dill weed. And they actually made comments on what turned out good and what didn't. So for example, pickling spice, no, don't do it. And a surprise to me, ginger, nope. The phrase that they have in the publication is no, with exclamation marks.
I did.
And who would have thought that?
I think I did see jalapenos, if you're into heat,
right? Yes, jalapenos are a great one. Those are a great one. What I often tell people is kind of figure out what you like to do with the fish afterwards. And so, for example, in my family, we have a salmon selyanka, which is a salmon potato soup. It's kind of from my husband's old country, the Swedes. And it was a family recipe. And I discovered that canning salmon with a little bit of chicken bouillon and some dill actually created canned salmon that tasted a lot like that salmon selyanka. And so that was kind of like a quick way of, I could take a jar of that, put that in a pan, put some chicken broth in with it, or just water because there's already chicken broth. And we have a quick salmon selyanka lunch. So there's things that you can, just quick things you can add to that canned salmon that can add some pep, and jalapenos are a great one.
All right. So I will put, I got both of your publications. I'm looking at them here, Canning the Fish Catch and then Adding Variety to Canned Fish. I'll put both of those on today's post at kto.org/Juno Afternoon, and we'll link to your website as well. So what about smoking fish first and then canning it? Is that for another day? Is that next level?
You know what? It's not that next level. The main thing with that is that you want to do a light smoke and a light brine, a short brine, and then a light smoke before you can. And you do need to can it for longer. We have another publication on that. So if people go to our website, there's a, what's it called? Canning smoked salmon and smoking salmon for canning. It's some really crazy long name, but you get the idea from the title. Yeah.
Got it. And what about Dolly Varden right now? Do people can those?
People do. People will can any kind of fish, anything that they get a lot of, because often a really good thing to do, actually, and part of the reason that I like to talk about canning is not just canning up fresh fish, but a lot of people, this is the time when they want to clear out their freezer to make room for new fish. For example, we like to have lots of reds in our freezer because they freeze up well. But when it comes to about a year, if we still have one left, I will take that up out of the freezer. I'll can it because it's excellent for another couple years in the jar, and it makes room for more fresh sockeye in the freezer.
Got it.
So that's a really good thing to do.
Where are good places to get pressure canners here in town?
So you can get pressure canners at Western Auto. I've seen them at Fred Meyer's. I've seen them at Foodland. I've seen them at, and they, pretty much all of those places I just listed will have Presto. That's one manufacturer. The Gourmet Alaska has All American. I think they're an All American dealer. And you want to determine what type of canner you get based on what kind of stovetop you're going to be using. If you have any kind of open flame, whether it's gas or you're going to be using a crab cooker or propane, you want to use an All-American. If you have an electric stove, especially a glass top electric stove, you're going to want to use a Presto or a Miro. But here in town, Presto seems to be what's mostly available. Those canners that have a dial gauge, and I believe most of the canners that are available here in town, the Presto and the All-American, all have dial gauges on them right now. Dial gauges do need to be tested once a year for accuracy. And that is a free program that I do. It's actually a USDA food safety program, and I have a gauge tester. And unfortunately, for about 2 months, we weren't able to because all of our offices were shut down. But now I am able to do canner gauge testing curbside. You just come to my office. I come to your car, take care of it. So people can give me a call because it is time, like you said, to get ready so that when you do have that fish, that venison, or a whole bunch of zucchini that you want to turn into pickles, that you have, well, that you don't need the canner gauge for that, but have all of your gear ready.
And just again, to emphasize the importance of testing your canner gauges so you get over 240 degrees to kill any potential botulism spores. Is that right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. Thank you. Yes. So if your canner gauge, if your dial gauge is inaccurate, you may be under processing your fish or your venison. And in that case, you might not be killing the botulism that may exist in that jar.
All right. So like I said, I'll put links to your office and all of this on our post. But in case somebody doesn't make it there, how can we get in contact with you directly to get our gauges tested?
Yes, probably the best way is email Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, dot Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, at alaska.edu. You can also call me. I'm at 523-3280. Extension 1, but I do warn that sometimes that doesn't transfer correctly to my phone. So email is best if you can't seem to get me by the phone.
All right. S-A-R-A-H dot Lewis, yep. L-E-W-I-S at alaska.edu.
That's right.
Or 523-3280, extension 1.
Yep.
All right. Sarah Lewis, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for being our guest on Foodie Friday. I hope to see you out somewhere in a garden or fishing or harvesting.
Or fishing out on the water is what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. Thanks so much, Scott, for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Sarah. This was fun. Take care.
Take care. Bye.